Hey, everybody, this is Adam Alexander from NASCAR on Fox. You're listening to the Front Stretch Podcast with Brian Nolan.
Hello, beautiful people. It is the week of July the 5th, and this program begins now. What is going on, my friends? This is the Front Stretch Podcast with Brian Nolan. Yours truly here on this glorious week in which Tyler Reddick is a Cup Series winner. On this week's program, Michael Finley, one of the good guys in the business, has kind of shifted away from the NASCAR side and into the SRX side. So we're going to get a little bit of two different racing outlets. Just his thoughts on Tyler Reddick getting his first win, Road America, and the future for that racetrack in the NASCAR Cup Series. And what does the future hold for the SRX Series? Last but not least, Cole Custer, driver of the number 41 car for Stuart Haas Racing, is going to join the program. We talked about his unfortunate rough season so far. What are the positives amid this struggle of a season, as well as him previewing the unpredictability of Atlanta and why he thinks it's going to be even crazier than the first time we went to the mini super speedway. Last but not least, we're going to be diving into some previews, previewing that race in the ATL and the fourth of the six races for the Camping World Series SRX style. Without further ado, let's green flag it.
Boogity, boogity, boogity! Let's go racing, boys!
Green flag is out, green flag is out. I'm going to bring in the program. This guy got to hang out with one of my best friends a couple weeks ago, got to attend his first race since the COVID-19 pandemic. Mr. Michael Finley joined the program. Finley, I was made sure to ask you this from our good friend Michael Massey. He says, ask Finley what a bologna burger is. And South Boston has those bologna burgers. So for those that don't know, what are those? Because I've never heard of one and I've never had one.
So just to give your listeners like kind of an image they can have in their head, South Boston Speedway is right on the edge of that Virginia, North Carolina border. In okay. fact, my Airbnb was actually in North Carolina. Nice. So yeah, we're talking the South here. And the bologna burger, it turns out, is it's a fried bologna, no cheese, it's on a bun. And the funny thing is, when I got it, I figured there would be a bunch of stuff on it because I'm used to Moultonville, which is right near there, with the hot dog with everything on it, essentially. Mm-hmm. I got it and I look into it. I don't see anything on the top. I lift the bologna, and there's like, it's piled with peppers.
Oh.
Green peppers. I'm like,
uh-oh.
I'm like, oh no. So I take, because you know, it's South Boston. And I'm like in the middle of the track. So I'm like, oh no, this isn't gonna go down good. But I took a bite, and the weird thing is the peppers don't overpower it, like in taste. Like it actually adds to the bologna kind of sort of. If you go on the South Boston I think they have a page on their website dedicated to bologna burger where it lists like all kinds of ingredients like mayo and I think lettuce or something. Like, I never got any of that. I just got the burger with the peppers, but it ended up turning out nice. Now, the crazy thing is with the bologna burger, and I did this when I did my SOX preview for that weekend, Elliot Sadler supposedly ate, I believe, 16 in one night.
Okay, that's almost Joey Chestnut kind of records. I mean, my goodness. Okay, here we go now.
Yeah, because I found a clip, and apparently it was because he was crewing for Homie, and Homie's call number was 16, so he was like, "Well, I'll just do this for good luck." Yeah,
I wouldn't want to. 16. Good Lord. Coming off of the 4th of July, I'm a huge fan of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest and the GOAT of all GOATs, surpassing Tom Brady, LeBron James, every single buddy. Joey Chestnut, the goat, 15th mustard belt. He ate 63 hot dogs and he beat a protester that tried to stop him. The goat of all goats. So I had to bring the bologna burgers up. I didn't even know that you were going to say that story, Finley. So that's a new one. Without being said, let's dive away from the food topic and into the racing topic, my friend. First, let's start out with NASCAR, since we'll dive into SRX a little bit after the NASCAR side of things. 4 mile track in Road America gives way to the 5th first time winner, the 3rd consecutive road course first time winner, Ross Chastain, Daniel Suarez, and now Tyler Reddick. Finley, we all knew it was coming. We didn't think it would be at a road course, unlike what he said after the race, and said he expected it to be at COTA. Wasn't at COTA. It was at Road America, but the 3C car, or as people on Twitter said, the weed car, Tyler Reddick got to victory lane at Road America for his first career win. Were you surprised by this?
Well, I mean, I'd like to thank Tyler Reddick because I went on Ed Lane's show last month and I said, quote, I think you'd be a fool if you don't think Tyler Reddick's going to win one of these things. So okay. Thankfully he backed me up on that. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's like Reddick, he's shown a lot of speed. And the reality is, you know, when you show speed everywhere, like, you're going to end up winning one of these things at least. It's kind of weird that the dirt track driver is so good on road courses. Like,
honestly, though, right? You're not wrong. I mean, yeah. Chase Briscoe, Christopher Bell, he's won road courses. Obviously, Larson. Kyle Larson. Yeah, Larson won a plethora of them. Larson finished 3rd. You had obviously Reddick with the victory, and then Briscoe as well as Christopher Bell were down there. But you made a great point, though. I didn't even connect the two until just now.
And you had a Bell win last year at Daytona Road Course.
Correct. Right. I mean, I never thought of it like that. That's really interesting to me, Finley. But going back on here, Reddick locks himself into the playoffs. Big win for him. We knew it was coming in. Unlike his car owner, in which I don't think you had to say, but he said it anyway, that he thinks that they can contend for a championship. I'm not going to go there yet. I think I need to see them 2 to 3 times in victory lane more than just the one off. But he went out and he beat Chase Elliott. He surpassed him. And Finley, we when we go to these road courses, we think two guys, Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson. Now, I mean, this year we could include both the track houses, but has the field gained a little bit with their advantage over Hendricks, or is just Hendricks lacking a little something in the road courses this year?
I do think the big thing with Hendrick that set them apart from everybody else last year and why they were so dominant was probably the track attack program, which you can Google it and look it up, but essentially they were selling old Gen 6 bodies that were modified enough to where they could sell them and NASCAR was not going to say anything. And they would take, like, customers would take them to the track, and part of the agreement of buying them is that you have to have a Hendrick Paulson there with like a laptop collecting data. Obviously with this new Cole, you can't really do that. So they still have a step up, especially compared to the Toyotas, but it definitely has not been as just ridiculous as it was last year when it was basically Elliott or Lawson every single road course, it seemed like.
Not wrong. Yeah. I mean, literally every single road course we went to last year, it felt like it was going to be the 5 or the 9. And I mean, it wasn't trying to get old, but I mean, it just, like, the parity was not there that we've seen this year. I mean, 13 out of the 16 spots have been filled by a driver with the win. 3 players, Truex, Bell, and Ryan Blaney, all in the playoffs with 8 races left to go that do not have a win. It's going to be exciting, that's for sure. Finley, last thing on the NASCAR side before we dive into the SRX side of things, Road America. It's been rumors Chicago Street Course is going to replace it July 4th weekend. In your opinion, what does a future hold for Road America?
So I think NASCAR does road courses in a not good way. Like, the stages really should not be there.
Totally agree.
There should be actual local Coulsons instead of having, you know, just freezing the field. I mean, thankfully, they seem to be smarter about that this time around.
Yeah.
And I think the longer the track is, the more those problems come into effect, especially in the Xfinity race, which had a...
Actually, I was gonna say, Finley, I was gonna say we'll dive into SRX next, but we do gotta talk about the Xfinity series. So carry on, and then we'll chat about the Xfinity series.
Well, I mean, you know, we're still waiting for that States Carlson to end. Right now. Like Road America to me is such a fun racetrack because first of all, there's so many elevation changes, and also unlike a lot of road courses, especially with stock cars, you can actually 1-2 wide and have that same side-by-side battle throughout the vast majority of the track, and you can't really take advantage either way. It kind of reminds me in a weird way of Suzuka in Japan, which is kind of the same way, because it's got, well, because in Suzuka, you have an equal amount of corners, so that way is one lane isn't taking advantage, essentially.
Okay.
But it's a lot wider than Suzuka, so that's kind of the difference there. I think Chicago street course should definitely be on the circuit mind because it's a big new market. We haven't really done a stock car race and a big stock car race on a street circuit before. It could be good or it could be a disaster, whatever. We'll watch it. I just don't think it should get in the way of this new July 4th tradition of going up to Wisconsin, and you've got all these families up there, probably camping and grilling the brats or what sausages and all that, or corn cobs too. They also eat a lot of corn cobs up there.
Oh, okay.
Like, I just feel like it would be a huge mistake just to take away that tradition after 2 years.
And here's the thing, Finley. We went to the Roval because the racing wasn't good at Charlotte. The racing is good at Charlotte now, so why do we need the Roval? We want to keep the same amount of road courses. You take the Roval away, you add in the mile and a half in Charlotte, and you can still keep Road America, and you get the Chicago Street Course. I think that's a win for all parties involved. Why doesn't NASCAR just do it like that?
You could do that, and then you could, in order to make everything work, you would probably cut one of the Kansas races. I think Kansas has two racetracks, right?
They shouldn't, but races. They do, yes.
Yeah, so that would be where the mythical, you know, was this second date in Kansas going, that would be Chicago. I do think it's a mistake, and I've seen this a lot. Why don't they go up to Chicagoland? The issue with that is Chicagoland is how many miles out from actual Chicago?
It's about an hour, I think, probably more.
Boone Smith, one of my favorite quotes of Boone Smith, when Chicagoland opened, he said that NASCAR should rename Wockingham into Solitland because it's basically the same thing. Like, it's the same distance, essentially.
I hope they don't lose Road America, because for the second consecutive year, the fans showed out and it was awesome to see, but we're just gonna have to wait and see what happens before the 2023 NASCAR schedule gets released. Finley, last but not least on the NASCAR side of things, very scary incident in the Xfinity race. Sage Karam, Noel Gregson battling back and forth. And then they were going in, I think it was, let's see, 2, 3, maybe 4 into 5 or something in there. And Noah decided to take a hard left and just absolutely spun Sage out, making him pop socket, and just spinning him into a plethora of cars, getting T-Bone, Brandon Brown, Myatt Snyder. I mean, just a plethora of cars, multi-million dollars worth of damage. Brandon Brown's in severe pain. He said he got hit in the jugs and the nuggets a little bit after. The more I look at this, because Noah confirmed it was intentional. He meant to wreck him and everything. And he said he was tired of getting run over. Thing is, though, he's got to grow up. And whether he likes it or not, you just can't do that. Sure, you can bump a person, but you don't just intentionally wreck them. And that's where I'm coming from, the maturity level of everything. And where I think that this could hurt him in the playoffs, Finley, because it's just like, what makes me think that he's not going to do this at Las Vegas in like the round of eight or something? And then someone's going to retaliate. He's going to end the fence and he doesn't get to advance to the next round because he's in too big of a hole. There's just so many layers of this. And we've seen it time and time again where I feel like he takes one step forward and then he takes five steps back. And I don't know when we're going to be able to say he takes two steps forward and zero steps back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And just to be clear about that, Rick, too, I saw a lot of people saying, why is everybody piling into each other? It turns out that area of the track is actually a spotter blind spot. So a lot of those guys didn't know what exactly was, they couldn't see anything. So that's why you had all these guys basically pile into each other right there. Noah, it's an interesting situation with him. I do think it speaks volumes that we had Sage Kalem. I don't remember the exact quote, but he said something to the effect of, you know, I've only been around the Xfinity Series a little bit of time, and I've been around the garage a little bit of time, and nobody seems to like Noah. Something to that effect, right?
Something like that. I heard the same thing. So, yeah, carry on.
It speaks volumes that who's come out and said, no, this IndyCar driver is completely wrong. He needs to go back to his own series.
Exactly. No one has.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously, Kalem is still kind of an outsider. You know, he's only been in the handful of times. And it's just ridiculous with Noah sometimes. And the sad thing is, he has so much talent. But I always feel like, just because of his personality, sometimes that just doesn't. He doesn't use it properly. And I think that's a big reason why he is still in the Xfinity Series. I actually think he's got the talent to be a cup driver, but he just has not, like, he hasn't matured enough. And really the question now is, how old is he?
He's 23.
23. So obviously that's young. That's young for me. I'm 27. But for a NASCAR prospect, you know, I mean, it's getting to the point where a lot of the big teams are going to look at that and start going, well, Sam Mayer starts getting good. And then it's the question of, are we going to take Noah, who's going to be like 24, 25, over this 20-year-old prospect who could, you know, be a big deal and be good for sponsors and do all that stuff?
Yeah, and it's just like, for me, it's just like there's been rumors that Junior Motorsports is going to go into the Cup Series in a couple years. So it's just like, do you want a guy that's talented, that's not going to create that much drama in Sam Mayer? He may still create a little bit of drama. Or do you want a guy that's going to create drama quite a bit of times, but he's not going to be that, but he's still going to win races, I should say. And that being Noah Gregson, most people would say, I'm going to pick the less drama field, but he's still talented in Sam Mayer. So, I mean, I don't know where the future holds, but I mean, something's got to change or else he may not survive in the world of NASCAR. Finley, let's dive into the SRX side of things. The third race of the group of six was started and finished, this being at Stafford Speedway in Connecticut. They started SRX here last year, and they are at the third race of the season this year. Three different winners, three races. Elio Castroneves wins at Five Flags. Tony Stewart wins at South Boston. And then the third and final one was Ryan Newman passing Marco Andretti. Finley, through the first three races, if I could say that, your overall thoughts, your overall impressions, what is the racing like compared to last year? And just give me your overall thoughts through literally halfway through the 2022 season.
When we're talking about, keep in mind, when we're talking about the future of SOX in these next three races, it's going to be a completely different ball game because we got a guy called Matt Kenseth showing up these next three races. Yeah. And it's been really interesting how, especially these last two, we've had kind of this ongoing battle now between Marco, Biffle, Tony, and Newman. Like, all these races now are starting to come down to these guys. And it's also leading to a very interesting battle in points. They haven't updated the point standings yet on here, but I believe Newman should probably be leading now by just a little bit. So it's actually looking like we're going to have a really good points battle here over these next few races. I think South Boston was the best SOX race. And I'm not just saying that because I was there, because that was really good. I am curious to see what the ratings will be for this week. We haven't gotten them yet. Just because South Boston was such an action-packed thing, we finally had Tony get mad at somebody. Like, somehow we had gone a year and a half with Tony being nice Tony. And then obviously we had Waltrip, who, it's the same with Waltrip that he's actually been the most impressive driver in some ways to me this season. Because, I mean, he was really good at Stafford. He was starting to gain speed. I don't think he was that good the first race, but the second race, he was also pretty decent. And then he got wrecked by Reinhardt away, and then he wrecked Reinhardt away. He got really mad. I'm really impressed by the live experience of SOX more than anything. This is the first time South Boston was the first time I'd actually ever been to an SOX race. And it was funny, like, because obviously you've covered NASCAR races before, right?
Very. Multiple ones.
So I get into SOX, and the first thing I do when I walk into the infield is I see Biffle walk out of his hollow, out of his RV with a T-shirt on, taking the trash out. And I'm like, am I supposed to be here? Exactly. Like, because, you know, there's always that fear of, oh no, I'm in the wrong location. I'm about to get thrown out of here. But yeah, I actually had to call our editor about it, because I was like, am I supposed to be walking around the driver RVs, and like, I'm walking up to the cars under the awnings and like putting my phone like in there just to see in the cockpit, just to see like what it looks like over there. and it turns out that's a big thing with SOX. So I really love how open they are with the media, unlike NASCAR, which NASCAR has its reasons. Obviously, they're the big leagues, but I feel like you can get really, really good content as a media person covering SOX. And I think that really helps with the fans who are like following on Twitter, and they get more of an insider look into it. So, yeah.
That's what I've heard from multiple people that have covered these races, Finley, is that the access that you get to these drivers. Now, keep in mind, there are only 13 of them a race, so or 12 of them, I should say, a race, so it's a little bit different. But with that being said, I've heard that you can get a lot of storylines very, very easily, just because of how accessible they are, and maybe NASCAR can take a look, and maybe they can switch something up regarding their media policy. But with that being said, it's a little different when you got 40 compared to 12. So I don't know where it goes. Last but not least, before we dive in, my interview that I conducted earlier today with Cole Custer, the future for SRX. You're mentioned in the TV ratings. They have been down from last year. What does the future hold for, in your opinion, for the SRX series going forward?
So I don't think Don Hawk is the CEO. I don't think Tony, I don't think anybody there would like me saying this, but I think they really need to get off Saturday nights from a TV perspective in order to survive.
So where do they go? Do they go Sunday afternoons, Friday night? Where do they go then?
Well, I mean, obviously looking at it from TV's perspective, the best numbers you're going to get is that 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon time slot, which is why NASCAR is on it constantly. But obviously then there's the issue if we're going up against NASCAR, and it's like, you could do it Saturday afternoon, but the numbers would probably be better then. Because I mean, the problem is like, people are out on Saturday nights in the summer, and it's just really hard to attract people there. Now, obviously the number of people watching TV has gone down. So theoretically, the numbers should be down, but they should not be below a million like they have been. And that is not a really good sign of things. And it's just, I think it's just a thing of people are interested in the series, but they want to do stuff in the summer. So yeah, obviously don't move it to Friday night, please, because that would be worse. But Saturday afternoon, I mean, obviously that would kill the live crowd, but I mean, it might save them on TV.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where they go from here, to be quite honest. I mean, I hope that they continue, because it's nice that you can, if you're doing something in the mornings or the afternoons and you sit down on your couch Saturday night, you're like, oh, there's more racing on us, and it's not NASCAR or IndyCar or a taped version of F1. You're like, oh, okay, then you got something else. However, that being said, you can't just stay there if the ratings aren't good. But I would love to see what the streaming numbers are. Obviously you can watch on Paramount Plus, so maybe that you add a little bit more ratings there. I don't know, but we're just gonna have to wait and see. They're at the Nashville Fairgrounds, in which we're gonna preview in just a little bit. Finley, stay right there, my friend. When we come back, we're gonna be hearing my interview that I conducted earlier today with the driver of the number 41 car, Stuart Haas Racing. Right now, folks, at this time, I'm going to bring into the program is a driver of the number 41 car for Stuart Haas Racing. You can find him on Twitter at Cole Custer. Cole Custer joins the program here. Cole, thank you so much for the time this afternoon. Let's just go and dive right into it, my friend, because obviously it's been a little bit of a struggle this season. So for you personally, what's been missing? What's been lacking so far for the 41 group?
You know, I think at the end of the day, you know, we wish we could have a little bit more consistent speed. You know, I think we've shown at times we've probably had five or six, you know, races where we've had good speed, where it's also been a year of a lot of things just not going right. Honestly, I mean, you know, I remember, you know, like Martinsville earlier in the year, we ran top five all day and a tire rolled away on pit road. Coda, we ran top 10 all day and we got spun at the end. Even this weekend in Road America, we ran top 10 all day and a pit stop cost us the end. So it's just, it's been a year of just a lot of things not adding up right, honestly. And you're just kind of hoping it all kind of gets sorted out. But overall, you know, we're working hard to try and get that consistent speed. But at the end of the day, I think we need a little bit of luck and we need a little bit better execution at times also.
No, obviously, like I said, it's been a tough year, but there has been some positives. I know it's completely apples to oranges, but you do have an Xfinity Series win. You won in the Xfinity Series at Fontana. So just what are some of the positives that you have had this year?
Well, it's been nice that, like I said before, we've shown speed at times. I mean, we went to Bristol. We sat on a pole. That was really cool for my first cup pole. I'm not a dirt guy, so it was pretty surprising to me. But it was cool to have that. And then, like you said, going to Fontana, winning that Xfinity race. But also, you know, like those runs I've said before, I mean, all the road courses, I feel like we've been pretty fast at. We run top 10 at all the road courses, just haven't had the finishes. And Martinsville, we were good. So it's just, you know, it's just a matter of having it all come together.
Cole Custer, driver of the number 41 car for Stuart Haas Racing, joins the program here. Cole, obviously, there's going to be some change going on at Stuart Haas Racing. Eric Emerald announced he's leaving after the end of this year to be retiring. We don't know how many years Kevin Harvick has left. So what's that transition going to be like? Because right now, personally, from where I'm sitting, it feels like you're looking up to these guys, where in a couple of years, they're going to be looking up to you. So how is that transition going to be from your point of view?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I've never been the veteran guy really before. But overall, I mean, it's just definitely going to be sad to see Eric go next year. I mean, he's been huge to the team. He's always one of the best guys to talk to about your car and trying to figure out what kind of feel we need in our cars. So he's definitely a one we're going to miss for sure. But at the end of the day, I mean, I don't have the crystal ball, so I don't know what it's all going to look like next year. So we just focus day to day on what we got going on this year. And I think trying to make the playoffs, you know, we got to go out there and win. So we're focused on that right now.
So you can't give me any hints of who's going to be in that 10 car next year, my friend?
I have no idea, man.
I had to ask. But hey, all kidding aside, let's chat about this upcoming week at Atlanta. When I think of Atlanta, this current configuration of Atlanta, I think of it as a fun size candy bar, comparing it to a regular size candy bar and comparing it to Daytona, where it's a little smaller, but it's still the same kind of super speedway pack racing. From your side of view, from the driver's perspective, what do you, or how do you just describe what kind of racing we see at Atlanta so far?
Kind of like what you said, it's kind of like a hybrid. You know, it's a hybrid between mile and a half racing and speedway racing. So you have a lot of the aspects of speedway racing. We're all really close in a pack. But at the end of the day, I think handling will matter a lot more when you go to Atlanta, just because it is a tighter radius corner than Daytona. It's a lot tighter of a racetrack. And then when you look at it this weekend, it is going to be really hot and slick. So it's going to make the cars pretty out of control, and it's going to be, we're going to see who has the handling figured out.
Last but not least, Cole, with where you are in the points, basically you're going to have to win to get into the playoffs. So does that change your approach and how you have to drive for the remaining eight races to take more chances, or are you just going to drive how you have been driving this entire season?
You know, you can't change things up too much, I wouldn't say. But at the end of the day, when you are in those high pressure situations where it's at the end of a race or whatever it is, you know, we got to go out there and be aggressive. We're the ones who got to go out there and win. So I think if you're in those situations, you're going to push it as much as you can.
You can catch Cole and the rest of the NASCAR Cup Series on USA this upcoming Sunday, Atlanta Motor Speedway. Like Cole said, it's going to be hot. It's going to be slick. And the action is also going to be as hot probably as the temperatures. Cole, thank you so much for taking some time, and good luck this weekend and the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Cole Custer, driver of the number 41 car for Stuart Haas Racing, joins the Front Stretch Podcast with Brian Olin. Once again, huge thanks to Cole Custer for coming on the program. Once again, at Cole Custer. Big thanks to Brent Gamble with NASCAR for setting this interview up, as well as Cole's PR rep and Heather Griffin. Reintroducing my co-host, you can find him on Twitter at Finley Factor. Michael Finley rejoins the program, follows SRX. So we're going to be previewing the SRX race at the Nashville Fairgrounds. But first, we got to preview for the first time NASCAR will be going back to a track for the second time this year. And the first time that they went to this track, we had no idea what was going to happen. And now we have a little bit, but we still don't really know, because it's like a fun-sized candy bar Daytona style edition. You got the regular size candy bar in Daytona, fun size in Atlanta, a little hybrid super speedway, mile and a half racing, unpredictability at its finest. Finley, let's just dive into the cup race at Atlanta. Your overall thoughts on what we are going to be seeing this upcoming weekend? Looked at the forecast, not very promising right now. There's a 70% chance of rain on Sunday, 60. There was an 85% chance on Saturday. So it's not looking good right now. Now, we're recording this on a Tuesday night. From Tuesday to Saturday, the weather can change. So hopefully, if you're hearing this on Friday or Saturday, it has already changed. That being said, Finley, this could be a rain race to halfway. This could be a race that's delayed, that's rain shortened. I don't know what we're going to see. Give me your overall thoughts on what we could be seeing for the Quaker State 400 presented by Walmart at Atlanta on Sunday.
Well, Brian, first and foremost, I know Thanksgiving's not till November, but I'm feeling pretty thankful. Do you know why?
Why?
Because after how long the first Atlanta race was this year, and after how long that Nashville race was a couple weeks ago, we finally have kind of a short race. It's only 400 miles. Thank goodness.
I think you just jinxed it. I think we're going to have like 100 miles go, come and go, and then the rain's going to come. We're going to have to stay there for like 8 hours. I think you just jinxed it, my friend. But yeah, only 400 miles, 264 laps. I don't really per se like this type of racing. If it's only one to two times, I'm okay with it. It's just, I feel like it's just a lesser down version of Daytona or Talladega, and we already have four of those races, and I'm fine with just seeing those four. Finley, your overall thoughts on the racing that we saw the first time and how it will translate to the second race here at the new Atlanta.
Track is too narrow. I mean, I know technically this track is supposedly as wide as Daytona, but unlike at Daytona, it doesn't seem like you can really pass that well.
Exactly.
In the turns. Now, granted, we did see passing. We did see plenty of lead changes. I do think the driver to watch this week is probably going to be Bubba, because if you look at the schedule, so, you know, Bubba was really fast. Like, that team is really fast now at most tracks. But if you look at the schedule, to the road to the playoffs, we've got two road courses. We've got Loudoun.
We got Pocono.
Yeah, we got Pocono, which is basically a road course, but with only left turns.
True.
So it's like this Daytona, Michigan. So it's like he's running out of options here, and he's not going to point his way in now. Not even looking like Hulvick's going to point his way in now. So, I mean, these guys are starting to run out of options, essentially, to try to win and get into the playoffs. So this is going to be a big week for him. And obviously we had the news come out this evening. I don't know if you heard yet, Brian, the 23 team and the 20 team are swapping pit crews.
Okay. It's ironic that it's at a time where we could see Bubba get to victory lane. They have this pit, they have this switch. So Christopher Bell and Bubba Wallace will be switching pit crews. So that puts a whole different wrench into everything. I'm really intrigued to see how big of a difference this is, Finley, because the seven problems this year already for Bubba Wallace. We just passed the halfway point of the season. So Christopher Bell still in the playoff race. He's still 14th in the playoffs right now. Bubba obviously is not going to point his way in. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens. He did finish 13th in this race in Atlanta earlier this year, back in March. Last but not least, on the NASCAR side of things, a couple guys to watch for, Finley, and then we're going to have your pick. 100 miles shorter than this first race. A couple guys for me to watch for. Corey LaJoie finished 5th. Justin Haley finished 11th. So watch out for both of those guys. And then obviously what you said in Bubba Wallace. For you, Finley, who's going to be some of the guys you're going to be watching for? And then who's going to be your pick come hopefully Sunday?
I honestly think that as much as Bubba's back is against the wall, I think the guy whose back is against the wall, I don't know, the hardest is probably Keselowski.
Very true.
And yep, Keselowski, you know, not to say Bubba's not a great restrictor plate racer, because he is, but, you know, Brad arguably is still one of the best on the circuit when it comes to that style of racing. I think I'll go with Brad, like, which is weird because the 30th place driver, right?
I know.
But Roush has had some decent results recently, mainly with the 17 car. But Brad's done a little bit of speed, maybe got a little bit of momentum coming in to Atlanta. So I'm going to go with Brad.
Yeah, a couple guys for me to watch for. Obviously, like you said, with Corey LaJoie, I do like what I've seen out of that 7 car when they're at Super Speedway. It's obviously a very, very tough finish, as they had some issues before the race even started at Road America. Michael McDowell, obviously a great plate racer, won the Daytona 500, so watch out for him. However, I'm going to go with the guy that does not have a win, but has won at a super speedway before. I'm going to go with our 14th different winner this year. And I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney, the number 12 car, Brad Keselowski's former teammate. And I'm going to go with the 12 car, Michael Finley. You got the 6 in a ginormous, absolutely ginormous upset in Brad Keselowski. I absolutely love that pick. Last but not least, let's dive in to the SRX race, this being at the Nashville Fairgrounds. You have every single week, you got a little bit of some different drivers that were not in the previous races. You have IndyCar star Joseph Newgarden will be in it. How about the return of a former racer that was in the booth for a NASCAR race? He's going to be making an appearance in the SRX series. Matt Kenseth will be in the number 5 car, and then Cole Williams will be in the number 46. Your overall thoughts to these drivers, and then you wrote about one of these new guys, that being Cole Williams. Finley, tell the viewers a little bit about him.
Well, I mean, I haven't written about him yet, but he will be, if you check out the SRX preview, that should be it should be up by Friday morning.
Okay.
You know, the day before the race, I always highlight the local winger, and Cole will be among them. Late model driver, 26 year old. He has a few track championships at Nashville. The way Nashville decided its winger was that it actually had a fan vote, and Cole actually won the fan vote. So that should be fun. The local winger, Bubba, was good, but they have not been showing up this year so far. So he's got quite a hill to climb. I'll have to do some further research on this. I don't think Matt Kenseth has ever actually driven on the fairgrounds.
Hey, we got a brand new racer coming to town. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Finley, let's dive into this race. Nashville, obviously, for those that don't know, they have two heat races and then the main event practice in the mornings, two heats and then the main event. What are you going to be keeping your eye on? And then give me a winner for the fourth race of six in the Camping World SRX Series.
Well, my heart tells me that Matt Kenseth comes and wins this race, but my mind tells me I actually think New Golden might get this win, just because if you look back at the first race at Five Flags, the IndyCar guys showed up this year. I love Elio and I love Tony, you know, Tony Kanaan, but New Golden is still in his prime as a racer, like week to week. And I think he should definitely contend for this win at the end of the day. And obviously, too, Tony Stewart is such an adaptable driver. I don't know if he's going to win, but I definitely would put money on him finishing in the top five.
I'm going to go with a guy that was close last week. He won at Slinger last year. Finley, I'm going to go with Marco Andretti. Got passed by Ryan Newman last race with under 10 to go. I'm going to go with Marco Andretti.
That's a good choice. And, you know, obviously, actually, the surprise at Stafford this past weekend was probably Paul Tracy getting that.
I know, finished
place.
Third. Like, who yeah. did that come from?
It was like, do you remember the show Wacky Racers? Like the old Hanna-Barbera?
I don't think so.
Cartoon? Some of your listeners might. That's like watching Dick Dastardly get like a podium on Wacky Racers. It's weird.
Very weird. You're killing me here, Finley. Last but not least, before we head over to final thoughts, Danny Cafiat spoke with Fox Sports' Bob Pockris. He said that he would love to try NASCAR sometime. Could we see a Formula One driver pull a Kimi Raikkonen and test his waters into the NASCAR side of things? Because Kimi will be racing for Trackhouse and Team 91 at Watkins Glen in August. So could we be seeing Danny Cafiat behind the wheel sometime soon?
So obviously, as you know, I'd write about SOX for the site, but day to day for the site, I write about Formula One. So Danny, he was actually at Mortonsville last year. Okay. Just walking around. It was after Coda when he was test driver at Alpine. And then when Lawson came to Abu Dhabi, apparently he was talking to him a lot about, because when Lawson went to Abu Dhabi, apparently he talked to a lot of people about F1, and he was like the only person talking to him about NASCAR. And so it was like seriously asking him about, you know, inquiring about going into it. So it's such an interesting situation with him right now, because obviously the issue is he is Russian. And the problem with that is I don't know if sponsors are going to be that receptive to him, and who even knows what it's going to be like at driver introductions if he gets a cup ride and goes in there. I'd like to see him personally do it. So it's cool to see Formula One drivers do it. A quick thing about Danny, like a driver profile, very aggressive driver. Vettel once called him a torpedo. He, you know, he's got plenty of points, got a few podiums. So, like, this isn't like if Mazepin had come on and said he wanted to do NASCAR, and it's like, Kvyat is like a legitimate driver, and it would be a lot of fun to see. I just don't, it's just going to be really interesting to see how this all works out, given the circumstances. Also, real quick, just to go on to that, he was originally going to be in FIA World Endurance Championship, competing for that, but he lost his ride because he would not abide by the FIA's new rules on Russian drivers. And he put out a statement saying it shouldn't be political and, you know, all that stuff. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Exactly. We're just going to have to wait and see here. Let's dive into the checkered flag for some final thoughts.
Checkered flag, here I come.
Final thoughts are here. Final thoughts are here. Finley, anything you want to rant about, give your comments, concerns, any final thoughts, share them right now. AKA Michael Finley, what is on your mind, my friend?
Well, I mean, thank God that everybody's okay at Silverstone. I know this is by my LA Stock Car Racing podcast, but obviously I think everybody has seen like what happened at Silverstone. I knew the wreck was bad because you can actually go on F1 TV if you have it and look at onboard footage. So like I knew like the wreck was going to be bad before they showed any replays of it. I did not imagine that the car would go in the catch fence and we almost have a Le Mans 1955 tragedy on our hands. That could have been an absolute disaster. And I'm happy that everybody's okay. Sounds like Zhou and Albon will both be at the Austrian Grand Prix this weekend competing. So no harm, no foul, thankfully. Outside of that, it's been a pretty good month of motorsports. It's just going to keep going now. Got the last half of SOX coming up. Should be fun. We got F1 just every week now until the summer break. And we've got the dog days of the NASCAR regular season, where everybody's going to be desperate to get that win.
8 races left to go, and we are heading to a fun-sized edition of Daytona, that being Atlanta Motor Speedway. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of this racing. Like Michael Finley said, it's too narrow. You can't pass. And when you can't pass, it doesn't provide great racing. However, if it's only twice a year, then I'll suck it up. Obviously, there's going to be some snoozers. There's not going to be some good races, but we're going to have some fantastic racing at some of these tracks that have been snoozers in the past, like Las Vegas this year. Fantastic racing. Sure, we didn't have that good of a race at Sonoma. Even Road America wasn't the best race, but hey, those great winners in both in Daniel Suarez and Tyler Reddick. Could we see another first-time winner? Could we see a winner that has not won in a long time? We definitely could. However, if it's just twice a year for this kind of racing, then I'm okay with it. But for now, 8 races left. The temperature is going to get hot, and so are the drivers. 13 of the 16 spots have been filled with wins. Can we get another one? Definitely could be the weekend. I don't know if it will happen, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. Once again, big thanks to Brett Gamble of NASCAR.com for the interview with Cole Custer. Big thanks to Cole himself. Big thanks to Michael Finley. Finley, you mentioned it a little bit ago. You're going to be writing about the SRX preview, but for those that are going to be on the website, what can the readers expect from the writing style of Mr. Michael Finley in the upcoming days?
Obviously, we have the SOX preview coming up on Friday. I'm also going to be participating in a Formula One roundtable, just talking about, we had a lot of news in F1, which is going to be really fun to just write about with Alex and Ava. And it's really interesting to jump from series to series, too. And then, obviously, we've got the big SOX race on Saturday, which is going to be really fun. Be sure to watch at 8 o'clock on CBS. Oh, and on Saturday, we've got the truck race at Mid-Ohio. So I'm going to be tweeting that race out on the frontstretch.com account. So it'd be a really fun time over there in Ohio. So it'd be a really fun race. Usually these standalone truck races are pretty exciting. So be sort of tuned into that. And just go on the Twitter and just put us on your computer screen and just keep with us and we'll be good.
I love it. I love it. For those that want to follow him on the Twitter at Finley Factor at the Brinal. And like he said, follow us at onfrontstretch.com. Finley, thank you so much. You are a plethora of knowledge, my friend. And I appreciate you taking some time. Let's talk soon down the road, brother.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Michael Finley, F1 SRX NASCAR Ryder joined the program. Big thanks to him for coming on. Big thanks to everybody that supports the program. Once again, at FrontStretch, frontstretch.com. For Michael Finley, everybody here, subscribe, like us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stock Car Scoop every Friday and every Monday, and the Front Stretch Podcast with Brian Olin every single day. Like I said, for Michael Finley, I am Brian Olin. Thank you so much for joining us. Next week, we'll be recapping Atlanta and previewing New Hampshire.